If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Sunday afternoon to you all, princes and princesses of patriotism. I am Michael B. This is the Michael Berryman Show here on ConservativeNationMedia.com. The phone number, 718-305-7176. I do urge you to call in and join the conversation today. We've got a lot to talk about. I have been on hiatus since last October. Busy doing some things in my corner of Texas. There's been a lot going on. We're moving into our Texas Tuesday, our March 4th Texas primary. And we got a lot going on, really. We've got a very important race in our lieutenant governor's race with the current lieutenant governor, David Dewhurst. Senator out of Houston, Senator Dan Patrick, whom I support. Good man. I'll tell you a little bit about him here shortly. Todd Staples and Jerry Patterson. As the polls stand right now, David Dewhurst and Dan Patrick are pretty much both tied, with Todd Staples in a distant 17%, Jerry Patterson less than 10%. Look, folks, all these men, they're good men. I'm going to be honest with you. Senator Patrick was, in my vetting process, it came down to between Senator Patrick and Jerry Patterson. My problem with Jerry Patterson is his stance on immigration. Jerry is a good man. He's a good solid conservative. He's got a record that's pretty good, but God dug it. Jerry is a let's do something about the illegals that are here first and then worry about the borders. Look, the demographics here in Texas are changing. They're changing throughout America. We can't take this Marco Rubio path of doing something with the people that are here already. There's a reason why they're in the shadows. They're in the shadows because they're lawbreakers. That's where lawbreakers belong, is in the shadows. Jerry Patterson doesn't want to discuss doing anything on the border until we do something with the illegals that are already here. It just can't work. Never will. Never can. We've got to strengthen our borders first. I was really dismayed with Jerry, though, a couple of weeks ago. You know, Jerry is our commissioner of the land office. And he, like most candidates that are in a very distant place, is attacking Senator Dan Patrick. Let me explain this. You see, in Texas, if you don't get at least 50% of the vote in one of our primaries, then you go into a runoff. The top two candidates go into a runoff. This is what happened in 2012 with Ted Cruz and David Dewhurst, and I'll elaborate a little bit on that here shortly. But you've got Lieutenant Governor Dewhurst, who's got his 32%. He's got his 32% no matter what. They're going to vote for him. Forget what he did in 2012 against Ted Cruz. Forget that his failed leadership on the Senate floor is what gave rise to Wendy Davis. You see, in Texas, the executive's chair, which is currently Rick Perry, is an important chair. I'm taking anything away from it. But folks, in Texas, the most important office in the state is lieutenant governor. And that is because the lieutenant governor is the president pro tem of the Senate. Sets the agenda on legislation. Dan Patrick did not handle the Senate chambers very well last July. And for you Texans, you know what happened. Wendy Davis was allowed to filibuster with Cecile Richards, the daughter of the former Governor Ann Richards, the last Democrat we had 20 years ago. And, of course, the vote went beyond midnight, and then we had subsequently found ourselves in a special session. If not for Lieutenant Governor David Dewhurst, that bill would have passed without us having to go into a special session to do it again. Folks, that's just failed leadership. Plain and simple, that's just failed leadership. David Dewhurst is a good man. I've met him on a time or two. He's outlived his shelf life. You know, he'd rather go down to the steakhouse in Austin and drink wine and eat steak than be in the Senate and take care of business. And I know this firsthand. Any Dewhurst supporters out there care to refute that? Give me a call, 718-305-7176. Jerry Patterson, 2 weeks ago, Barry show out of Houston, KTRH, no relation. I'm Michael Berryman. He's Michael Berry, was on the show after launching an attack on Senator Patrick about hiring illegal aliens. Now, Jerry, what the hell are you thinking? He didn't do any such thing. Whatever happened to Reagan's 11th commandment? Look, we could talk about records all day long. If there's something that Senator Patrick voted for that you disagree with, attack his record. But, sir, you and Todd Staples and David Dewhurst are schizophrenic. You remind me of the Persian prince in Xenophon's Institution of Cyrus. Somewhere, I believe, he mentions that the hero had come to the conclusion that he had two souls. One good and one bad. When the good one had ascendancy, he was kind and benevolent. But when the bad one had ascendancy, he was all wrong. You, sir, are all wrong. Senator Patrick did no such thing. We've got the letter from Mr. Andrade. We've got everything we need to know. But yet now, because of this private eye that you hired, because you, sir, were tipped off by Democrats See, this is, folks, this is the crazy thing about it. Jerry Patterson, a man I otherwise admired, got information from Democrats, hired a private investigator, drug up this illegal alien who admitted he bought a fake Social Security card, fake ID at a flea market, and went to work for Dan Patrick at one of his sports bars. Dan Patrick did not knowingly hire an illegal alien. He was presented with what he thought, he wasn't even presented. The manager of the sports bar was presented with what he thought to be valid credentials and was hired. But you took this information from a Democrat? Jerry, that's conspiring with the enemy. Former Marine, someone who is a band of my brothers, I would think you would know better, sir. You don't conspire with the enemy. Kiansabi, you know, I don't know. I guess that's what you do when you're in a desperate fourth place, is you start pulling stuff out of orifices that are underneath your pants. But I digress. You know, last week or 2 weeks ago, you were on the Michael Berry show and you admitted that you got this information from Democrats, Mr. Patterson. Would you care to explain why you would take information from Democrats to use against one of your own? Look, I know you want to win. I understand that. I get that. But this is a desperate act of a desperate man who's losing badly. Then let's just jump forward a little bit to Todd Staples. Now, look, it's bad enough what Jerry Patterson did, conspiring with Democrats against one of our own. Set aside whether or not I support Senator Patrick or not. Set that aside. If you had done this to David Dewhurst or Todd Staples, I'd still be pissed off. You just happened to do it to the man that I support. Todd Staples. Let's talk about Todd Staples. This lying piece of crap. I guess I shouldn't be surprised, Todd. The dirty tactics perpetrated by Mr. Patterson 2 weeks ago using the Democrat spoon-fed information and making those wild accusations, and then you're going to take the banner up and spend the last $800,000 you have in the final days of the Texas primary to make wild accusations that Patrick claims to be the only candidate, or Patrick is the only candidate who knowingly hired illegal immigrants and supported amnesty. You, sir, are lower than well shit. You know for a fact he did not knowingly hire illegal immigrants. You, sir, know for a fact because Miguel Andrade admitted that he had purchased fake documents at a flea market in Houston to procure that job. Your latest dad goes on to then say that Dan Patrick went so far as to even write a letter to the government seeking amnesty for one of the illegals. Mr. Staples, how can you look at yourself in the mirror every morning as a Christian? How do you look at Texans in the eye, people that you're asking for your vote, people that you are telling you're going to be a transparent lieutenant governor, and lie like that? Because the letter actually says, May 8, 1987, to whom it may concern, we opened the restaurant in November 1983 and still operating as of this date. Miguel Andrade was employed with us from 1183 to 1185, signed Dan Patrick, president, with some little initials off to the side of the signature, which, Mr. Staples, you know that those little initials indicates that someone is signing his name on his behalf. It's just disgusting. Begins to soft break here. We're gonna take step away and take this soft break. If I can find my my ad, there it is, right there.
And in the end, the love you take.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
What does it take to be the leader in production systems technology? To be the one company that solves production problems at any plant, for any product, and with any technology? It takes a 30-year record of success. It takes total mastery of complex technologies with a history of delivering success every time, without fail. Only one company can claim that high ground in manufacturing line optimization, data automation, and systems integration. And that's Philadelphia Control Systems. In factories worldwide, Philadelphia Control Systems programs, software, and engineering solutions deliver optimal performance and output flow with a record that can't be matched. Any plant, any product, any technology. Philadelphia Control Systems, the leader in production automation since 1982. 800-335-9811. PCSforAutomation.com. That's PCS, the number 4, automation.com.
If Sam Houston, Travis, Bowie, and Austin were here today, they would be proud of Texas, but they'd be ashamed of Washington. Illegal immigration is Washington's responsibility, but it's our problem.
Dan Patrick is the only candidate for lieutenant governor to oppose in-state tuition for illegal immigrants.
I'll do what Washington won't do. I'll secure our border, and I'll end sanctuary cities, and I'll never stop fighting against Obama's attacks on Texas.
Secure the border. Fight Obama. Dan Patrick for Lieutenant Governor.
In the race for Attorney General, there's only one constitutional conservative like Ted Cruz.
Ken Paxton stands and fights, whether it's against Obamacare, whether it's fighting for voter ID, or whether it's fighting to defend our religious liberty. And I'm proud to say Ken Paxton is my friend and fighting hard for the state of Texas.
Ken Paxton, endorsed by Texas Right to Life. A-rated by the NRA. He'll defend our Constitution.
The news never stops. You need a host who doesn't stop either. This is the Michael Berryman Show, declaring war on rhinos and liberals across America.
All right, and this is Michael B. of the Michael Berryman Show. It is about 19 minutes after the top of the hour. Just out of another man who I am supporting, running against the rhino, John Cornyn. I actually have an ad up a little bit later on in the show for Dwayne. I know Dwayne. I've spent an evening with Dwayne at Madison Rising here in Fort Worth. I've pushed his information. Look, John Cornyn, let's divert a little bit from, because Dwayne should be calling in here shortly. Let's divert from the lieutenant governor's race. We've got a lot going on in Texas. Dwayne Stovall, he's running against, actually a pretty wide field. I think there's about 7 people running in this. I've been supporting Dwayne. He was the first candidate to issue a challenge to John Cornyn. Steve Stockman came in at the very end. In fact, there's some question as to whether or not Steve Stockman even put his paperwork in on time. I'll talk about that here in a little bit. Hopefully we're going to give Dwayne, he messaged me. He's on the road between Houston and Dallas. We'll see if he calls in here before too long. But Steve Stockman is the only other big name candidate. I think that Dwayne actually has some momentum going. We're hoping that we actually force Cornyn into a primary challenge. in a runoff. I don't know that it will happen, but I sure hope it does. Dwayne is a good guy. But look, let's get back on this lieutenant governor's thing real quick, because until Dwayne calls in, if he calls in, we'll switch gears. Look, folks, I know Dwayne. I mean, I know Dan Patrick. I know I was one of the first people to call for Dan Patrick to make a bid for the lieutenant governor's chair when after I determined that I wasn't going to support Jerry Patterson, and I knew that I couldn't support Todd Staples. See, Todd Staples, just for your information, facts are a stubborn thing. I've listened to Todd Staples in a four-way debate, and Todd's a liar. Not only has he proven himself to be a liar in his ads, but in 2001, Todd Staples was a state senator, and he supported in-state tuition for illegal immigrants with House Bill 1403. That same year, he supported giving driver's license to illegal immigrants when he voted for House Bill 396. And now we also know that he supported taxpayer-funded non-emergency health care with SB 309, which would allow hospitals to provide free or discounted non-emergency care to illegal immigrants. I've heard Todd Staples deny that he made those three votes. It's not been said to me that he denied it. I heard him say to my face that he did not make those votes. And on the occasion where he has declined to admit that he made those votes, he said, I don't recall them coming up for a vote in the Senate. Even though on one of those bills, he authored an amendment. Now, Todd, I'd like to ask you to call. I'm issuing you a challenge, Todd. 718-305-7176. To date, you have not addressed those with, and this is probably why you're at 17% in the polls. Todd, people don't trust you because you talk out of both sides of your mouth. And, sir, as a Texan, you should know that we don't do that. You deny you made the votes, or you say that you didn't recollect them coming up on the Senate floor. Hogwash, sir. Hogwash. We expect more from our elected representatives. Like David Dewhurst, you'll never get my vote ever again, ever, ever, ever. Speaking of David Dewhurst, David Dewhurst has come out with some new ads accusing Senator Patrick of tax evasion. All of this stuff can be found at danpatrick.org. It's all provably false. I guess Dan or David Dewhurst now is in panic mode because as of last week, it will be a runoff between Senator Dan Patrick and David Dewhurst. I tried to get Senator Patrick on today, but he's very busy, as you can imagine, going into Texas Tuesday. David's panicking. He knows if we go into a runoff that he's likely going to lose because approximately 73% of Texans stand against him. Whether they stand with Dan Patrick, that liar, Staples, or that conspirer of with Democrats, Jerry Patterson, he's got approximately 73% of the folks against him. Hey, I think we've got a very special guest that just called in. Dwayne, is that you?
It is I.
Dwayne, how are you doing, my brother?
Hey, I'm doing well. I'm doing real well. It's
well, you're traveling between Houston and Dallas.
Between Austin and Dallas right now. I was in Lubbock last night. I flew into Dallas this morning. I'm headed to Austin.
Well, we're going into Texas Tuesday. Dwayne Stovall, I have been supporting. He was the first gentleman that I know of that decided to challenge Senator John Cornyn, who, well, folks, he's a Mitch McConnell, John McCain kind of guy. He's in leadership. He's equivocated. He's voted for tax hikes 8 times. He has done the dirty tricks of voting against procedural votes that, say, for instance, the vote for cloture with Ted Cruz. He's voted against that, but then turned around and voted against Obama. It's all a game they play. Isn't that correct, Dwayne?
Come on, Michael. It's all tactics.
Yeah.
It's all tactics.
It is. I've been standing
with... have good tactics.
Exactly. It is. And I, folks, I've been standing with Dwayne, and then we had Steve. Dwayne, I don't want to get your input on this because you're a candidate, but I'm just a grassroots activist. I can say this. I happen to have from two different sources, folks. I'm not addressing this to Dwayne, but I'm addressing this to y'all. I've had two sources already that have come to me and said, Michael, did you know that Steve Stockman, who, first of all, we know that he entered the campaign at the very last minute. In fact, he may have entered a little too late. But it's come to my attention from a source out of Boston and a source out of East Texas who don't know one another that Steve Stockman, who had about a debt of about $160,000 from a prior campaign, was told by none other than Karl Rove, who I can't stand, he would retire that debt if he would take this race. I think it's a plan to segment the grassroots so much that John Cornyn wins by default. Now, Dwayne, I'm not asking you for your input on that. I don't want to get you in trouble.
I don't really have a stance on that. I will tell you this. I get emails about that regularly.
Absolutely. We know the game that Karl Rove's playing. But look, let's put Cap, that fool, which doesn't stand a Chinaman's chance in hell. But look, folks, we've got Dwayne Stobel on. He's en route to Dallas. Dwayne, I want to hand it over to you and let you talk to the listeners a little bit. Now, this is the relaunch of my show. I've been off air for a few months, but thank you so much for calling. And I've been supporting you since your name was first floated, before you were on the ballot, which, by the way, I picked up signs in my neck of Tarrant County. I'll get them back out Monday before the primary vote, and I'll be letting you or Kelly Cannon know Tuesday night after we close the polls what the results are for my three precincts that I'll be alternate judge for. But I'm going to hand it over to you, Dwayne. Let us know. Look, we all love us some Ted Cruz. We want to get rid of John Cornyn. We want another grassroots constitutional conservative. I believe you're that man. Tell the voters why you're that man.
Well, I am that man. And first, I want to tell you how much I appreciate the support you've given me, Margo. It's been very humbling to be just a regular citizen of Texas who decided to step up into this realm that's usually blocked from us citizens, regular citizens. And the growth of this campaign just kind of shows you where everybody's at. We've got over 1,100 volunteers, and it's the largest campaign in the state of Texas, bar none. And they've come forward to help support a movement that's just grassroots-oriented. It's just native Texans or imported Texans, whatever you want to call them, people who believe in freedom. They believe the idea of limited government, who understand the Constitution as it was created and ratified. So I'm just a 48-year-old native Texan. I'm just a dad, a husband. I happen to be a Christian. If you are, that's great. If you're not, wish you were here, but, you know, it's your own thing. I'm a member of the school board at Tarkin Independent School District in Liberty County. Nothing extraordinary about this individual. What I have that I've learned that many of us don't have is I have a very clear understanding of the principles of the Constitution and an extremely clear view of what the proper role of a U.S. senator is. And lots of people, sadly, are completely disconnected from the proper role of a U.S. senator. And when you explain it to them, when that light comes on, it doesn't go off. People get it, and they get behind the message, and it's very easy to sell because truth sells, believe it or not. It's a lot of times it's hard for people to take. Truth hurts is a true concept, but when they wrap their head around the way this is supposed to operate, little simple facts like the fact that a U.S. senator is only really have one priority, and that's to look after the best interest of their state. There's really nothing else to the job. They only have two authorities. That's it. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go, finish your thought, and then because I want to go into that, and I'll tell the story after you finish your thought.
Oh, just you get people to back up a second and take a breath and understand that a U.S. senator's role, they're not rock stars. They're not to be idolized. They're just one of us, and their job is to be an ambassador to the general government, to the central government, for their state state legislature. So they only have two authorities. They only give advice and consent. They're very limited in what they can do. What you want them to do is you want them to have protect the best interests of their state. You want them to have an undying loyalty to the state of Texas. And you can't have an undying loyalty to the state of Texas while you consistently vote to increase the size and scope of the federal. That's adverse to the job. So Senator Cornyn is the poster child for what's wrong with U.S. Senate votes today.
Absolutely. And, you know, you say they're not supposed to be rock stars. You and I being fellow Texans, of course, Senator Cruz has become the rock star. I'm hoping that you become the next senator, the junior senator of Texas, and I have no doubt that you will become the rock star. I get what you're saying, Dwayne, but I think Texans in particular and Americans at large are starving for people with principle. And
you're absolutely right.
And when you get up there and do what you promise you're going to do, you're going to become a de facto rock star. You're going to become a de facto leader like Ted Cruz, Mike Lee, Rand Paul of the Republican Party that speaks for people like us. But now, Dwayne, you know, I was supporting you long before I ever actually physically met you. The first time I met you was last year. Vicki Underhill, our buddy Vicki, had that
right.
The deal over there in Cowtown, and I got to listen to you talk. And I had listened to Mark Levin and some other folks talk about the 17th Amendment, but this is one of the things that really stood out. And it stood out to me because I know in Texas we're making the changes in our House and in our Senate where if we changed the 17th Amendment and went back to the way things are supposed to be, folks like you would stand a chance rather than being elected at the polls like we do now, being elected by the state. We would choose our two senators down in Austin. Tell
right.
us a little bit about that.
About the 17th Amendment and the what happened before and what happened after?
Yes.
You
talked about that at Vicki Underhill's event.
For those that don't understand the 17th Amendment, the 17th Amendment was in 1913, and it took away the state's authority to appoint their U.S. senators. For those that don't know, for the first 120-plus years we were in existence, the state legislatures appointed their U.S. senators. The purpose of that was to give the states a check on the federal government. People like George Mason and Roger Sherman, when they were negotiating or debating the creation of the Senate, they said, if you're going to create this new government, even though it's supposed to be limited, which is a joke now, but even if it's supposed to be limited, we're going to have these three branches of government. They're going to have these checks and balances built in. The states, who are supposed to hold the expansive power, they're supposed to be the most powerful, they deserve the check as well. So they created the Senate to be that. As a matter of fact, George Mason referred to the Senate as the mechanism of self-defense for the states. That check was supposed to be so that if the federal government started behaving unconstitutionally or tyrannically or you know, all the things it's doing today, then the states could throw a wrench in the program with their senators. They could say no. Well, when they passed the 17th Amendment and it made senators popularly elected, just like the congressmen in the House, they stripped away state sovereignty overnight. And they did more than that. And a lot of people don't talk about this, but they jettisoned federalism, which is the principle that the states hold all the power, and they ushered us into nationalism with a capital N, which is where all the power resides in the central government, which is where we are today. So from the time they passed the 17th Amendment, coming forward, the behavior of U.S. senators has almost been without change. They generally vote to raise the debt, to expand the size and scope of the federal government, and to give it unconstitutional powers, all at the expense of the states. And that's completely adverse to what the role was designed for. So I'm one of those. Repealing the 17th Amendment, could that ever happen? I don't know. But I can tell you this, if you elect somebody like me who's got Jeffersonian principles and understands the Constitution, I'd go do the job the way it was designed and be the example for what the framers intended.
Dwayne, can you give me a few more minutes on the other side? I'm at the bottom of a hard spot, but if you'll hang on. Okay, I'm going to take this hard break. Hey, I've got my brother that does the show after me, Bing Fisher. I know he's online listening. He's supporting a man named Joe Carr, who's doing an insurgency campaign against Alexander Lamar in Tennessee. Give us a call, Bing. Let's get you on here. I think being on this call with Dwayne would be good. Dwayne, when we come out of this hard break, I'd like for you to tell us a little bit about the John Cornyn record as you see it and what you would do different. But we're going to take this hard break. We'll be right back.
It's an honor to be endorsed by the National Rifle Association. Your Second Amendment rights are extremely important in Texas, and we want to make sure that our future generations are able to continue to keep their rights.
So Glenn came in, we shot his .45, he carries the same gun that I do actually, CDP. The big thing about being a small business owner is that we employ so many people. We are the ones that are actually fixing unemployment. And I think Glenn's the man that can make sure there's transparency and accountability. He's someone you can trust. If you have a problem, have a question, he'll listen.
We need to make sure that business opportunities continue to thrive, because who pays the bills? It's the taxpayers that pay the bills. My name is Glenn Hager, and I'm running to be your next Texas comptroller.
Hello, my name is Wayne Christian. For a decade and a half, I've served in the Texas House and now seek your vote for Texas Railroad Commission. Our oil and gas is important in Texas, and the Railroad Commission is who will protect us. I was the most conservative legislator in the Texas House, chairman of the Texas Conservative Coalition. I was honored to have a 100% voting record with Texas Eagle Forum, an A-plus of Young Conservatives of Texas, and an A-plus from Texans for Fiscal Responsibility.
What does the Railroad Commission do? It's responsible for the gift of oil and gas and natural resources God has given us in Texas under the ground that no other state enjoys. I grew up in the big city of Tinnehau, Texas, pumping gasoline at my daddy's filling station, so I'm glad to say that it's running for your Texas State Railroad Commission, I literally started at the bottom of the industry. We have the Obama administration, the extremist environmental organizations, others that are declaring the lives of lizards, plants, rabbits, and other wild animals as endangered species and stopping production all across Texas. We need to keep Texas the independent miracle that it is. Folks, it's time we stood up and fought, and you need somebody that has been there, done that, and I'm your man.
To get involved, visit our website, ChristianForTexas.com. Visit us on Facebook and Twitter. And remember, when you go to vote, the only Christian you'll find on the ballot.
And you're listening to The Michael Berryman Show on ConservativeNationMedia.com. All right, and this is Michael B. on the Michael Berryman Show of ConservativeNationMedia.com. We have been enjoying a conversation with Dwayne Stovall, who's running for U.S. Senator, a man I support. I've been supporting since mid-last year when he first threw his hat in the ring. Well, I guess it would probably have been around the end of September. Just before that, when Ted Cruz was filibustered the budget, and a vote for cloture was a vote for Obamacare, and John Cornyn stood opposed to his base here in Texas, which, Dwayne, we've got a very strong grassroots conservative Tea Party. Now, we're a little bit divided right now, other than Cornyn's base. Let's be honest, the grassroots are kind of split between you and Steve Stockman. I don't know why. He's a fool.
See, I don't see that split at all.
Well, that's good news.
I don't see a split at all. There's a handful of people who are supporting Steve, but the vast majority of Tea Party groups endorse. I'm the only one who's endorsed by Tea Party groups.
And that is true. That is true. Perhaps I'm just seeing too much of the vocal minority.
It's a handful, and they're very vocal.
You are indeed the Tea Party. The hands-on Tea Party favorite. Look, Lee Stranahan's done several, from Breitbart News, has done several of his shows that I've listened to about Steve Stockman in so far as some shady stuff that's going on. It's hitting the news every day now. And
The thing to keep in mind is all the social media brouhaha is generated by individuals that work for the Stockman campaign.
It is. And one in particular,
there's no grassroots organic movement there. As a matter of fact, some of them are paid employees. So it's not two totally different dynamics going on here. When you talk about grassroots, you're talking about my campaign.
Absolutely, of which I'm very familiar with. Now, Dwayne, tell us a little bit. Look, I'm going to let you kind of – I would like for you to do this however you want. I'm not asking you to speak ill of Cornyn. You know where I stand. I can't stand him. I want to see him gone. I want to see you in his stead. I'm going to let you – I'd like for you to handle this however you want. Folks know Cornyn. Look, Cornyn is a Mitch McConnell. He's in leadership. Something happens when they get in leadership. They become equivocators. They equivocate on what they're saying. They play games. Dwayne.
Well, nothing happened to him. There's nothing has changed. Nothing has changed.
Touché.
The thing is, from the time he was elected in 2002 coming forward, his behavior has been very consistent. There's no I appreciate the emotional knee-jerk reaction that everybody's had over the last 4 or 5 months, but really and truly, I would sit back and say he's going to vote this way, he's going to vote that way, he's going to do this, he's going to do that, and I could it's like a number 5 pencil in kindergarten. It's so big, it's easy to watch. There's nothing about what he does or his behavior in the Senate that is abnormal to me. It's totally his protocol. From the time he was elected, starting in early 2003, he's generally voted with the Democrats to raise the debt, to grow the government, and to give it unconstitutional powers with the Democrats. And I keep affirming that. You have to understand, there's not a conservative aspect to his voting record, not one. You can't say I'm against X that's funded by a raised debt ceiling, and vote to increase the debt. You're either against enslaving me and my children and unborn Texans, or you are for it. There's no middle ground here. If you are for increasing the size of that government, and I am totally opposed to that, if you are for increasing the debt, which is a burden on me and my children and unborn future generations of Texans, then conservative, you're not a Republican, and you're lying to me. So basically, he's put on this farce of a front, this marketing schematic that says he is somehow conservative and he's representing our best interest. But in truth, he's voted to increase the size of that government and give it more debt, more unconstitutional power almost incessantly. He voted against it. What makes it so more insidious is that in September of 2007, he voted against raising the debt. Why did he do that? Well, maybe it was because there was a primary in March of 2008. So he voted against raising the debt in 2007. In September, he touts he's conservative just like you. And then he gets through the primary in Texas. Well, everybody understands still so far that if you make it through the primary, you should be the sitting U.S. Senator. Well, he got through the primary in 2008 for his second term. 3 weeks after that, or 2 or 3 weeks after that, he voted to raise his debt again and went right back to it.
Yeah,
so it's very opportunistic. Yeah, it's very opportunistic, and he's just a big government guy. He represents the federal government. He does not represent the best interests of Texas.
No, he doesn't. He is – look, I think it's safe to say you and I George Bush, I appreciate I appreciate what he did as president after 9/11, but he is a big government, Republican, and that is what John Cornyn is, which is why it's why I'm for David Watts Jr. and not George P. for
absolutely
because I just I couldn't trust a Bush as far as I can throw it. Let's on some of these votes. Cornyn voted to let Harry Reid fund Obamacare in 2013. Senator Cornyn of Texas voted to end debate and allow Senate Democrats to reinsert funding for Obamacare. He voted for the Wall Street bailout, which was TARP in 2008.
Oh, yeah, stimulus TARP. Yeah.
Yes. He voted for Medicaid Part D. He voted to increase the federal minimum wage in 2007. He voted for the fiscal cliff tax hike. He voted against fiscally conservative budgets. He supported intrusive internal internet regulations, PIPA. He voted to allow warrantless data collection on American citizens. He has voted to raise the debt ceiling eight times, and he's voted to reauthorize the Patriot Act.
Yeah, he's perfectly fine with a federal agent writing his own warrant, self-written warrant, coming into your home and taking your private property against your will without your consent. So, yeah, he's not looking after your best interest. And I'll tell you something else. There are things people need to understand that it's like he always espoused supporting the cut, cap, and balance, right? He voted for cut, cap, and balance. What people don't realize is the cut, cap, and balance, that's a misnomer. Cut, cap, and balance didn't cut anything, cap anything, nor balance anything. What it did was it had three built-in debt increases. It allowed them to vote for something that sounded really conservative, but it raised the debt three times incrementally, so it elongated the time before they had to go talk about it again. Very disingenuous voting. Now, that's one aspect.
Dwayne, I hate look. I know since you're driving, can I get you till the top of the hour? But I got to take my soft break.
No, go ahead.
All right, hang tight.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
All right, here I am, proud to be a Texan, with my blood brother Sid Miller. And if you want to keep Texas as the last best place, if you want to keep Texas, Texas, visit SidMillerForTexas.com. In fact, make that MillerForTexas.com. Go to MillerForTexas.com and make a donation so that my blood brother, Sid Miller, becomes the Ag Commissioner of Texas. Because Texas is the best. Let's keep it the best.
As conservatives and as Texans, we must confront the challenges we face head on. Preserving Texas as the land of liberty and freedom against Obama and his allies as they attempt to turn Texas blue. Expanding our transportation and water infrastructure to meet our growing population. Most importantly, creating jobs and keeping the Texas economy number one in the nation. As your next governor, I'll safeguard Texas values. I'll keep government small, taxes low, and regulations reasonable. I'll protect your Second Amendment rights. This campaign is going to present Texans with real clear choices. We won't allow Texas to be taken over by California-style government. We will win this election because the people and values of Texas are on our side. We know the power of the individual, what liberty means to the voters who go to the polls. And I know that hard-working conservatives will beat Barack Obama and his allies every time.
This is the Michael Berryman Show, opening up a six-pack of whoop ass, one can at a time, right here on ConservativeNationMedia.com.
All right, and this is Michael B. on the Michael Behrman Show here at conservativenationmedia.com. The phone number is 718-305-7176. I would urge you to give us a call. We've got Dwayne Stovall on the show with us, who is en route from Austin to Dallas. Dwayne is running for U.S. Senator in a, Dwayne, I think it's a seven-man race, isn't it, or something like that?
Yeah, I'm not sure what the final tally is, but I know there's six or seven of them.
Well, Dwayne, Dwayne is the grassroots Tea Party Act candidate here in Texas, a man that I'm proud to have supported since, three-quarters into the year last year, a man that I was at an event with, by our friend Vicki Underhill. And then again, Dwayne and I and Vicki and Stephanie Boosie, we met up to see Madison Rising. I've actually got an ad for you, but it's a little bit later on in the show, Dwayne. I've downloaded one of your spots, and I've got it'll play a little bit later on towards the end of our show today.
Is it the one that sounds like a monster truck rally?
No. It's the one that talks about you as a man, just being from Cleveland, Texas, and being on the state board of the board of education there, and all of that good stuff.
Okay.
I really like it because it's just it's like you're sitting in a chair, and it's almost like a fireside chat. It's the way it feels to me. But I've got that coming on here a little bit later on. I wished I would have put it into the show a little bit earlier. But Dwayne is someone that I'm supporting for U.S. Senator out of Texas to be our next junior senator, putting Ted Cruz as the senior senator. Dwayne, look, we've got you become senator. Let's just assume that you're going to win this. We're going to go into a runoff with Cornyn at the very worst. Hopefully we win it outright. But let's just assume we go into a runoff. And we make you the next U.S. Senator from Texas. We've got some geopolitical stuff going on right now. As we recall last summer, Obama drew his red line in the sand where Syria was concerned and Putin walked all over us. We now have a situation in the Ukraine where it looks like Russia's trying to pick the satellite little countries from the former Soviet Union, and he's just walking all over Obama. It was all over the Sunday news this morning. I mean, even the talking heads from the left don't seem to be too enthusiastic about our place in the world because of this leading from behind of Barack Obama. What would you say about? I mean, you're Senator Dwayne Stovall. What are you? I mean, we all are tired of being the world's policeman, but at the same time, we have to stand as the force of good that we are, like we did under Ronald Reagan. Where does Senator Dwayne Stovall stand on this?
Yeah, I fall in line with the fact that there's a protocol, and if you're going to send my family, my friends and members of my community into war and put their lives on the line for me, then you better follow that protocol. There is no authority for a president to arbitrarily yank up our family and friends and put them in harm's way over his whims. So if there is a national security issue, there's only three criteria for them taking our military and enacting them into military force anyway. So if it doesn't meet that criteria and he doesn't go before the representatives of the House of Congress, the Congressional House, and make his case, then I see no activity. I don't see us making arbitrary moves around the planet. And when you talk about being the policeman of the world, that's how it became that way. The empire became the way it is because we don't follow the protocol by the Constitution.
Absolutely. And I don't disagree with you. I do think, you know, there's a lot of things we can do economically insofar as where Russia's concerned. I think you would agree that while we have to follow the protocol that is required of us, at the same time, we do have to exercise diplomacy in such a way when we're drawing red lines in the sand, we've got to be prepared to step up, or we need not draw those red lines.
I think the red line statements are that shows you just how ill-equipped he is for his office.
Exactly.
Those were ridiculous statements, absolutely ridiculous statements. Look at the, in layman's terms, look at what we're viewing today. We have the Ukraine up in arms. We've got the Putin moving his people in, and their military taking active involvement there and massing at the borders and entering the country as far as we know. And what is the United States doing? We're chastising them for involving themselves in the Ukraine's business. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't know of any of my family or friends who are in the military who thought that we were doing anything more than involving ourselves in, Yemen, Syria, Libya, Egypt. Pick your country where we're meddling. It's kind of a double-edged sword for us. If you're going to stick it out there and you're going to put your neck on the line and say you can't do X, Y, or Z or else, yeah, you put us in a predicament. And I'm not big on us backing off from anything. But what I'm big on is we need to have the biggest, strongest military we can have. We need to have the most rational defense you could possibly have. And we need to get away from this irrational offense. Because for the life of me, I can't get anybody to give me the long-term result. Where does this go when we go allow a president to go enter into military actions with our family and friends with no goal? I still fall back to the protocol. It's there. It's for us to use. If there is a national interest here, then it needs to be sold to the people's representatives in the House and let the people speak. They dictate to the president. It is not the other way around. So I realize it's been flipped on its head, but sooner or later we've got to go back there. Otherwise, we're headed for a very bad ending.
Well, Dwayne, we're coming up on the top of the hour, and I'm going to have to take another break. I'd love to have you on as long as you're driving and feel like being on. As Senator Dwayne Stovall, what committee do you see yourself on?
With my viewpoints on federalism and the Constitution, I'm pretty sure I'm going to be outside the closed doors. If Texans are willing to take that position, and I think they are, I think it's been proven they are, and understand that if you have principles and you have fidelity to the Constitution, you take what comes with it. That's all they ask for.
Okay, I'm going to throw you a hardball.
Fidelity to the Constitution. What's that?
I got to throw you a hardball, brother. But I know you won't fail me. Senator Dwayne Stovall, we're electing we're back in the majority. We're looking to elect the majority leader of the Senate. Senator Dwayne Stovall doesn't support a Senator McConnell. Should he be reelected? Does he or does he not?
Oh, absolutely not.
Oh, yes. Yes, that's well. I knew that, but I just wanted to make sure.
No, absolutely not. No. You're either a Republican or you're a Republican in name only, and he is exactly that. You're conservative or you're not. You cannot coalesce with socialist communist ideology and say you're doing the people's business of Texas. McConnell's his own state's problem. That's not for Texas to decide. But as far as being in the Senate and voting on representation of the Senate, no, he's definitely – I'd never vote for him.
Very good. Dwayne, can you hang on a little bit longer or do you got to run, brother?
I got about 10 or 15 minutes. I think I've got time for it.
Okay. Let me take this hard break. We'll be right back. I've got a caller on from Indiana that would like to talk to you for a few minutes. I think my brother Bing's going to call in, who's running, helping to run another insurgency campaign out of Tennessee against Lamar Alexander. So we'll be right back, folks. This is the Michael Behrman Show, phone number 718-305-7176.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
The Wall Street Journal calls the Lieutenant Governor's budget Texas Goes Sacramento, its biggest spending spree in memory.
The only thing you need to know about the Lieutenant Governor's current budget is every Democrat praised and voted for it. As a conservative Republican, I didn't. And property taxes are a disaster. You can pay off your home but still not own it.
Dan Patrick will cut property taxes for all Texans and eliminate all property tax increases for seniors.
This is Texas, not California, and we need a lieutenant governor who understands that.
Dan Patrick for lieutenant governor.
In the last couple of years, we have seen something extraordinary, something transforming. But it's not a media conversation. We have seen the rise of the grassroots.
We've seen it here in Texas on the ground. You want to know why I'm optimistic? You want to know why I'm inspired? You inspire. My friend Katrina Pearson inspires me. She is a principled conservative fighter who is utterly
your chiropractor of conservatism, the Texas Tornado, the Michael Berryman Show on conservativenationmedia.com.
Guess who just got back today? That wild-eyed boy said it's been away. Haven't changed, had much to say.
All right, and this is Michael B. on the Michael Berryman Show here at conservativenationmedia.com. It feels good to be back on the air after taking a hiatus. I am back in town, and I am waging war on liberals and rhinos. We do have a very special guest with us. He's on the road between Austin and Dallas right now, and that is U.S. Senate candidate Dwayne Stovall, good friend of mine, man I support, man I'd like to see replace Senator John Cornyn. Dwayne, I just asked you whether or not you would support Mitch McConnell. I knew what your answer would be. Let's get into a little bit of local politics, just real quickly, if we can. As a Texan, I know that you would not support Winnie Davis. I'm sure you'll support whoever our nominee is. I think it's going to be Greg Abbott. What's your thoughts on this Winnie Davis thing? This is why I'm a strong Senator Dan Patrick supporter. I think that David Dewhurst failed us last summer. I'm not particularly fond of Todd Staples. I'm not going to go into that with you. I'll do that. I don't want to drag you in. I don't want to drag you into that as a candidate. But I think we win by 12 points. Go ahead, Dwayne.
I said it's not Tuesday yet, and I still haven't made a selection in that race.
Well, you. I think you know of all people. You know who I'm supporting because you've seen all of my endorsements. We lost control of the Senate floor over the summer, and it gave rise to Winnie Davis. So we'll set aside David Dewhurst and all of that stuff. I think Greg Abbott beats her. I think the Democrats looked for maybe not an opportunity to win, but to do something better than they did with Bill White in 2010. I think it's at least 12 points. They lose by 12 points, at least, if not worse.
I sure hope so.
Okay,
I mean, that's a key indicator.
We know that you're not undecided on the lieutenant governor's race, which, you know, outside of our senators, I happen to think the lieutenant governor's chair is the most powerful chair in Texas. We have another insurgent going on in Texas against another man we would like to be gone. That is Pete Sessions with Katrina Pearson. Any thoughts on that?
Oh, I hope Katrina cleans house.
Yeah, absolutely.
I hope she does. I'm a firm believer in term limits, and I actually have a different understanding of term limits than most people. A lot of people. You know, term limits. You know why we need them? It's not because. It's not because they get in and they're in too long and they're entrenched and all that stuff. We need term limits because we lost the original design, the original construct of the House, which was the framers designed us. If you read the Constitution, it says the original formula was 30,000 citizens to the representative. The reason they did that was because they assumed, or they knew that if you lived in a community of 30,000 people or so, that there would be a very high likelihood that you would know the person you were voting for, or you would know someone who knew that person, and you would have what we don't have today, and that's context of character. Today we've got over 720,000 of us to one representative. Nobody has context of character. So what do you end up with? You end up with de Tocqueville on steroids, where absolute power corrupts absolutely, and that's what we have. So even though we run the risk of losing a quality, principled representative, I would rather lose that one and turn over all the rest who are killing us than continue with what we have today, which is this cronyism and the fact that you don't know anything about them except for the $20 million they spend on selling you a bill of goods on how conservative they are, and they're just lying to it.
I've always struggled with term limits. I've always been a free market guy, but I'm coming around and agreeing with you, actually, because now in my with what you say,
you're
absolutely
right.
I beg your pardon?
Have you ever heard that described that way before?
No, I haven't, and I actually like that because I've always struggled with it. And my thing has always been, I've been a free market guy. If I want to vote for Ted Cruz for the rest of my life, then I want to be able to. But at the same time, we've got so many apathetic, and this is the way I've looked at it, we've got so many apathetic Americans that we're ending up losing our country because of what I perceive as entrenched. So I've looked at it from a different aspect, and that's why I'm coming around to wanting term limits. But I just love the way that you described it.
Michael, 10 years ago, I would have fought tooth and nail over not having term limits because the people are the term limits. That's
exactly
the argument. If you don't like what they're doing, vote them out. That's our job. Well, that's true, and that's exactly what the framers said. It was our job. The problem is we lost that one portion, that parcel of the voting process, that context of character. And when you've lost that, which was very, very important to the framers, when you've lost that, you've lost the ability to guide the principles to your government. So, yeah, I've totally changed that. And for anybody that's listening that doesn't know, the reason you only have 435 representatives is because early in the 20th century there was an issue with new districts. I mean, we act like district gerrymandering is an issue today, but it was an issue 100 years ago. And the sitting Congress in the early 20th century was worried they were not going to have their positions because of the growth of population. So they made a House rule and said, you know, there's 435 of us. That's enough. We don't need anybody else. And they solidified it with an act around 1928 or 9. And that's why we have 435 individuals who are elitists. Otherwise, you'd have enough representatives. We'd have had to do something way before this to try to deal with how many representatives we had. We'd have so many. But that's why we have this elite body.
Well, Dwayne, in the remaining minutes that we have with you, I want to bring this caller. I believe this is Robert from Indiana. Robert, is that you?
Yes, it is. I was just calling to listen, though.
Well, Robert, from Indiana, look, what you dealt with insurgency campaigns in 2012 with, I think his last name was Murdoch. We've got Dwayne Stovall in with us. What do you do? Just being I take it you're a grassroots activist there in Indiana. Anything that you want to interject or ask of Dwayne? I don't guess y'all have any insurgency campaigns going, because I've heard of nothing in Indiana.
Well, since Murdoch ran, we haven't really had anything. But you know, it's for the most part, Indiana's pretty much covered by Republicans anyway. Right at the moment, we've only got a couple of Democrats. Donnelly's one. He's one of these idiots who believes exactly as Obama does. But in my district, I've got Todd Rakita, who is a Tea Party conservative. But Murdoch, it really surprised me that he got beat. But what went on with him was that liberal media has a tendency to bring up things that nobody has heard of or haven't heard of in a long time, and they bring it up at exactly the right time to hurt the public, the person that they want to hurt.
Well, I could tell you, thanks a lot, Robert. Stand by. I'll bring you back on here in just a minute. Speaking of Richard Murdoch, that's the one thing that you've not done, Dwayne, and I don't expect you would. He beat Dick Lugar, and then at some point he went off on a wild tangent. He screwed it for himself. I don't see you doing that. I know you're a very well-spoken man. In our remaining minutes with you, Dwayne, I want to hand it over to you. Folks, this is Dwayne Stovall. By the way, you can find him at texansforstovall.com. He is challenging John Cornyn, and I truly expect that we're going to be in a runoff, and it's going to be with Dwayne Stovall. But, Dwayne, I just want to turn it over to you for a few minutes in the few remaining minutes I have with you. By the way, be careful driving into the Metroplex. We are getting sleet on the ground. But it's all yours, brother.
Well, for me, there's some things that have not taken place in my lifetime. And everybody knows me, knows I'm just a small business owner. I'm not affiliated with the politics, or I'm not a groomed and developed regular politician that the establishment escorts out in front of us every few years and says, this is the guy. I'm as far detached from that circle as you could possibly get. So they really don't know what to do with me. I can tell you this, if you have ever wanted to see a citizen statesman, and I have, but we haven't seen one, and I've been waiting on one. I've been waiting for one of us, somebody who's on the ground, somebody who's in the economy, someone who goes to the schools with their kids, somebody who is involved in their community, who actually knows what it means to live a life under the oppressive environment of this government. I've been looking for that person. I wasn't going to see them. And I think the timetable is so short now on the devaluation of the currency and the increase of our debt that we're headed towards a significant correction. And I decided I would just be that guy. If no one else was going to step up there and be the person that I've been looking for to represent this state, then I took it upon myself to do this. I'm compelled to do this. I don't want for any government power. I don't want to manage anybody's lives. I want you to manage it yourselves. But I definitely want someone looking after the best interests of the state. I have an undying loyalty to the state of Texas. I was born here. I love this state, and we need to protect it. And I honestly believe that every few generations, there's a generation that's called upon to protect liberty from tyranny, and I believe it's ours. I think you do too.
Absolutely, Dwayne. You know, it was early October. I'm reminiscing here, and John Cornyn had done a segment on Mark Davis, and I called in while he was talking, and I happened to be the first caller after Cornyn got off, and was pointing out his vote for cloture and all of that, and I mentioned your name to Mark Davis, who subsequently you've been on with, but at the time he didn't know anybody that was running that would challenge. And, I told Mark, asked me about you, and he said, well, what was your resume? And I said, his resume, he's a citizen. He's a normal guy. He's a grassroots activist. And I said, you know, as far as I'm concerned, there's no battle that's won if you don't at least take the opportunity to fight it, which is exactly what you've done. You've taken, no matter outcome, you've went further, and you've done more than anybody would imagine against the sitting senator, John Cornyn, who's a fairly powerful senator. You've done it, and I tell you, I am so blessed to call you a friend, someone I've met on several occasions, and someone that I support. And, Dwayne, you've got my we get you into D.C. like I think we're going to do, and you know that whenever you need something pushed, you know that Michael here in Hazlitt, Texas, will push it for you.
Yes, I do, and I really appreciate the support, Michael. I truly do. I'll say it again. It's been a very humbling experience to have so many Texans come forward to support a regular citizen. It's just been amazing. I'm very blessed in that matter. So thank you for having me on today, and I appreciate the time. And everybody go vote. If you're listening to this, go vote. If you believe that you can't get out of debt by creating debt, go vote.
Absolutely. Folks, Dwayne Stovall. Dwayne Stovall for U.S. Senator. That is TexansForStovall.com. Join the fight. Go there. Hey, look, throw Dwayne a few bucks. We've got Tuesday. Tuesday is the big day, Dwayne. Drive safe. We've got some sleet on the ground here in the Metroplex. Brother, I love you. Thanks for everything you're doing.
Will do. See you later, Michael.
All right. Bye-bye. Folks, we're going to take our 15-minute after the break spot. We'll be right back.
The Internet's official rhino hunting safari.
Hi, I'm Connie Burton. I've met many of you while traveling around District 10, and I'm encouraged by the support I've received. I'm excited about the grassroots enthusiasm I see for this campaign all across the district. It's the same enthusiasm I experienced across this district while working to elect Ted Cruz to the U.S. Senate, as well as other conservatives across Tarrant County. We share the same priorities: defeat the Democrats and bring conservative representation to District 10. Our campaign is gaining new support daily, but I need your help so we can continue our efforts. First, if you've not already liked our Facebook page, do it today and share it with your friends. Second, volunteer on our website to block walk. Third, your donations make it possible for us to carry our conservative message across this district. Go to my website at ConnieBurton.com and support our campaign financially. I know that the most important part of any political race is not the candidate, but the values we share and are willing to fight for. I'm concerned about the direction of our country and how that affects our state. I want to be your next state senator because I want to make Texas as strong as it can possibly be. With your help, we can do this. I'm Connie Burton. I ask for your support and your vote.
And you're listening to The Michael Berryman Show on ConservativeNationMedia.com.
And this is Michael B. on the Michael Berryman Show here at ConservativeNationMedia.com. Phone number 718-305-7176. That is 718-305-7176. We've got about 41 minutes left in the program. And we've just had Dwayne Stovall on, who's running for U.S. Senator against the sitting U.S. Senator John Cornyn in a pretty heavy race. I support Dwayne. Folks, TexansForStovall.com, please go to it and support him. You've heard several commercials. You've heard of Dan Patrick, who's running for lieutenant governor. Man I support, man I know. Angela and I were his guest at the Lincoln Reagan Day dinner here in Tarrant County. You know, folks, you probably are not aware that Tarrant County is the reddest county in Texas. And it is the reddest county in America, actually. It's the most dependable county for what's going on there? I'm on the show here, and I've got my beautiful wife. I don't know, she's freaking out or doing something, but we're the most dependable Republican county in the country. We're in the middle of a fight of our lives here against Battleground Texas, which is an offshoot of the old Obama campaign. They've put Wendy Davis up. They thought she was the rock star. We're going to beat her. Look, Texas isn't going blue this election cycle, but things are changing. Demographics are changing. It's just the way it is. And I don't know what the answer is other than strong conservative values. Ronald Reagan did it. You know, Texas has not went for a Democrat president candidate since 1976. Our last sitting Democrat governor was Ann Richards, who in 92. And the only reason she won was because Clayton Williams was a dumbass, and he got caught on tape talking about the weather, And he made the remark, look, you know, and he's a rancher. He's an old West Texas rancher. He uses that old logic, and he made the statement, look, it's like the weather in Texas is like rape. It's going to happen the way it happens. You might as well just sit back and enjoy it. Ah, not good. But then, of course, in 94, we got the George W. Bush. We've been Republican ever since. We basically have been a red state since 79. It's been over a generation. It's been over 20 years since we've had any Democrat hold statewide office. But I could see things changing in 2020, 2024, somewhere along in there. Things are changing if we don't tighten up our borders. That's why we can't vote for someone like a Todd Staples or a Jerry Patterson who doesn't want to deal with the borders before they and they want to deal with the illegal immigrants who are already here. Got to deal with the borders first. That has to be priority number one. We deal with the borders first, then we'll talk about what we're going to do with those people that are here illegally already. So I'm supporting Senator Dan Patrick for lieutenant governor. Because David Dewhurst is, he's outlived his shelf life. He's a failed leader. He gave us Wendy Davis. Todd Staples is a liar. Jerry Patterson conspires with Democrats. I'm supporting Ken Paxton as the Attorney General of the state of Texas. We've had a very strong Attorney General in Texas. His name is Greg Abbott. Greg Abbott's running for governor. Greg Abbott's going to be the next governor of the state of Texas. We've got to have someone that stands in his stead and we'll take the fight, just like Hannibal in the Second Punic War. Hannibal Barraca, the Carthaginian, the famous Carthaginian general, who took the war, took the elephants through Spain, through France, over into Italy, took the war to Semperius Longus and over the Alps and defeated the Romans on their home territory. We've got to have an attorney general that's that strong, that will take the war to the Roman elitists in Washington, D.C. That man, I believe, is Ken Paxton. We need to have a strong ag commissioner. I believe that that man is Sid Miller. We've got to have a strong land commissioner. I believe that man's Glenn Hager. And we've got to have a strong railroad commissioner. And I believe that man is Wayne Christian. I know all these men personally. Hell, half of them I've had in my home. Had them over for coffee or supper or whatever. That's what I do. Wayne Christian, railroad commissioner, has nothing to do with railroads. But it has to do with oil and gas. Well, the railroad commissioner title comes from the 1800s, but nowadays, the railroad commissioner is the man who fights the EPA, helps with regulation or not on oil and gas industry. Texas is a unique state. Oil and gas is our lifeblood. That's why we've not felt the horrible conditions of the Obama administration in Texas that the rest of the country has felt, because you know, I live here in Tarrant County. I sit on top of the Barnett Shell. I can look out my window and see a gas rig. It's just the way it is. Grew up around it. It's just like it's growing up around horse shit. You just get used to it. So I support Wayne Christian. But look, we're 24 minutes after the top of the hour. The phone number is 718-305-7176. I want to bring in a friend here that I've not talked to in some time. He just messaged me and he says, Michael Behrman Show, is this the Michael Behrman that I know from Soldiers of Patriotism? And indeed it is, my friend from Alaska, my brother. Boyd, how you doing?
If I get unmuted, I'll be fine.
How's it going, brother?
I'm doing good, brother. You surprised me. You just came back out of nowhere, man.
I had to take a hiatus. A lot of stuff going on, but it was good. The president and general manager of Conservative Nation Radio, Duke Brooks, has done a lot in my absence. I'm eternally grateful to our brother. And I had some things I had to do, but the good thing about it was that after all of this time, I got to step back in you know, because I really wanted to move away from a show named Soldier of Patriotism or whatever. Give it whatever name you want. I wanted to go to a show that's my name. So it really worked out good over the last 4 or 5 months to step away and let Bing do his thing, let Duke run the company, take care of some family stuff that I needed to take care of, step back in with a brand new show, same format, but under a new name. And, you know, I've missed all you guys. I love you. I've missed you. But, you know, it is what it is. And what a great Sunday to start back, Boyd, the Sunday before Texas Tuesday.
Yeah. Well, I'm not complaining. I'm not doing anything, but you still caught me by surprise because I saw the reminder come up, and I'm going, who in the hell is Michael Berryman? And I was looking at the time, and I'm saying, did he take Bing's time slot, or what's going on here, fella?
No. In fact, the great Bing Fisher does follow this show on our other network. It's the same network, but we have to do a couple of subscriptions. Hopefully, Bing, I know Bing's listening. He'll drop his link into the – in fact, this may be Bing right here. Let's see. Who do we have?
I see him back in chat.
Bing, is that you?
I'm here.
Brother Bing, I love you, my brother. Surprise, guess who's back in town?
Oh, yeah, you are, definitely. I'm surprised, too. Not surprised, I mean, I knew about stupid dog. Get my gun out. No, I'm not surprised. I mean, I know you'd be back sooner or later. But, yeah, you know, I was studying. I'm going to rip on Harry Reid here. Not on your show, but later.
Well, do it. Give me 2 minutes of the rip, then we're going to take the hard break. We'll come out of the hard break, and let's you and me and Boyd chat. See what? Just catch up. You know how I like to do my roundtable the last 30 minutes of the show. So go ahead. Rip on Harry Reid for 2 minutes.
Oh no, I don't. Well, I'm gonna save that. It's a savory type of moment. But you know, I did not know. I wanted to ask your last guest, how does he feel? Okay, running for what? That was Greg, right?
Dwayne Stovall, U.S. Senate candidate.
How does he feel about a judge, a federal district judge from another state, dictating to your state if you can honor what 76% of your people voted for, which is marriage between a man and a woman? How can they dishonor that? How can they put that, that's what I wanted to ask him, and I had some technical difficulties. But,
I would be so bold as to answer for Dwayne. I know Dwayne pretty good. We're all pretty upset about that federal judge down in San Antonio. I think this might be the same idiot that took us into a you remember being back in 2012, we had to delay our primaries and everything because of that judge down in San Antonio that challenged our new lines. You know, in Texas, and I guess it's this way in every state, you want to win the years that end in zero. You want your party to win because they're the ones that draw the boundaries, the lines. And, of course, you know, in Texas, we get challenged every 10 years. Every year that there's a census, the party that wins gets to draw the election boundaries.
Oh, you're going to find that in every state. We have it here in Alaska, too.
Well, hey,
go ahead,
hang tight real quick. I need to take this hard break, and we'll come back out of it, and we'll catch up. Speaking about what you're talking about, Bing, we need to talk a little bit about Jan Brewer and what happened. And I've got a Rich Lowry article that's really good. But let's take this hard break, and we'll be right back. All right, guys?
All right.
What does it take to be the leader in production systems technology? To be the one company that solves production problems at any plant, for any product, and with any technology? It takes a 30-year record of success. It takes total mastery of complex technologies with a history of delivering success every time, without fail.
Only one company can claim that high ground in manufacturing line optimization, data automation, and systems integration, and that's Philadelphia Control Systems. In factories worldwide, Philadelphia Control Systems programs, software, and engineering solutions deliver optimal performance and output flow with a record that can't be matched. Any plant, any product, any technology. Philadelphia Control Systems, the leader in production automation since 1982. 800-335-9811. PCS for automation.com. That's PCS, the number 4, automation.com.
He's become a leading national voice defending our Second Amendment rights and fighting Obama's attacks on Texas gun owners. Dan Patrick.
This is America, and our Constitution gives us the right to bear arms. This is not Tokyo. This is not Finland. This is the United States of America. Hmm. And in America, where law-abiding citizens have guns, crime is down.
Fight Obama. Defend our Second Amendment rights. Dan Patrick for Lieutenant Governor.
Falling into the arms of America. This is the Michael Berryman Show on conservativenationmedia.com.
Don't tickle my legs and tell me it's raining, you freaking liberals. You can kiss my ass, Obama.
Matthew McConaughey. This is Michael B. on the Michael Berryman Show here on conservativenationmedia.com. I do have the Alaskan Boyd McPhail on with us. I've got my brother from another mother, Bing Fisher, who does American by Design immediately following this show here on the conservativenationmedia.com. I've also got Robert in. Guys, you're all high, so of what you're doing. I've got Robert in, who does the New Wise Conservative radio show on Saturdays. I'm hoping that the president and general manager of Conservative Nation Media will be calling in shortly. He is going to be at CPAC on Friday, actually next weekend. We'll be doing a live show from CPAC on Radio Row. Very excited about this, to have Conservative Nation Media represented in the House at CPAC 2014, being... Is that just not the coolest thing, or what?
Yeah, in the House, man. And I'll tell you what, we're also going to meet at Waynesboro, Tennessee, April 25th through the 27th, and that's for the Defend the Constitution rally. And, man, it's heating up. We're getting just a ton of Facebook likes and just a ton of hits on the website. So.
Well, look, we got some catching up to do. I just had Dwayne Stovall on, running an insurgency campaign. Boyd and Robert, stand by, guys. I got you on a hot mic, all right? So if you need to interject, just say, hey, John, here. We need to talk about Joe Carr, Lamar Alexander. Where are we at on that? What's going on? It's been a while since I've talked to you, my brother. I'm sorry, I've been out of touch. Just, man, I've had my finger up my butt or something. I don't know.
Joe's doing good. I mean, look, you know, Lamar wants to tout name recognition. Well, look, when you've got a bad name, name recognition doesn't help you much, does it? You know? And that's what's hurting Lamar right now. So we're just focusing on that, you know. We're just trying to get this out. And, you know, we got Michael Patrick Leahy. We're trying to get to go and get people to vote for Joe Carr and explain them why. Explain to them why, you know. Joe, you know, raising money. He's doing what he needs to be doing. I don't need to be messing with Joe right now, you know. That he's doing what he's doing, and I'm doing what I'm doing. So,
yeah.
But we're last poll I heard was internally, I think we were like 4 or 5 points behind Lamar. And,
oh, well, that's good. Now, do y'all do the runoff kind of thing in Tennessee? I mean, look, if Lamar doesn't get 50%, if it should be Lamar and Joe that are the top two candidates in a field that's however deep, will y'all do a runoff, or can the candidate win on a plurality?
No, in the primary, I'm not totally sure of that. See, they keep changing things all the time. You know, they keep changing the rules. So, and that's why, you know, I brought up the federal court. You know, you can have a runoff. You know, I don't know exactly. I will find out.
That's how we do it in Texas. There is no pluralities. You either get 51% or it's a runoff with the person that came closest to you. Let's deviate, and we do need to promote your show here in just a second. But you know, being you and I, we started this gig a long time ago. You are one of the founders of Traditional Americans, and I was the founder of Conservative Nation Media. And you and I got together along with some other good people, and then Duke Brooks came into our life. Duke's had 40 years of terrestrial radio experience, and he brought formatting, programming to Conservative Nation Media, which I think has made us all a better being. I've got Duke Brooks, president and general manager of Conservative Nation Media, on the line with us, who is going to be in CPAC 2014. He will be doing a live show from CPAC off of Radio Row. I mean, I can't believe where we've come from our humble beginnings so long ago. Before I bring Duke on, what are your thoughts on that?
Oh, no, it's amazing, man. I mean, if you asked me 4 or 5 years ago if I would be doing this, I would say I did. It would not even enter my mind, really, you know. But traditionalamericanmovement.com, we've been in existence for over 4 years now. And we pay our bills. We're, you know, pretty much always online. And, you know, we do what we do best. You know, we're information pushers over there. And that, you know, that's what we do. And then, you know, I got with you and we got on the radio and stuff like that. So, that, you know, that's where we're at right now.
It's been a good partnership. But I got to tell you, you know, you and I had a lot of fun together. But the man that brought it around, brought us together, fixed us up, and has put us on the direction of our brother Duke Brooks, president and general manager of Conservative Nation Media. And Duke, I'm so glad you called in. I got to thank you for picking up the reins and holding the fort down in my absence. I'm sorry is all I can say. You know, I've been, you know, you and I talk, and you know what's been going on. But, man, you're loved and you're appreciated.
Well, Michael, I mean, listen, I have had an absolute blast, and this is just, you know, it's really in many ways one of the most rewarding things that I have done in broadcasting, and it is certainly about the most enjoyable, and I couldn't imagine a greater and better group of people who are all like-minded. We're all kindred spirits. I mean, at every radio station where I've worked, I have normally been one of the only, if not the only, conservative working there. And this, of course, is completely different. But I do believe the high point took place on Dealey Plaza last Labor Day when you and I conducted Conservative Nation Media, Inc.'s own independent investigation of the JFK assassination. And, you know, we went there. We went to the Texas School Book Depository. I looked over the fence. Absolutely. I looked over the fence of the grassy knoll. I did not see any footprints. I didn't see any spent cartridge casings. I saw no evidence of another shooter there, and that's why you and I have concluded that Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone. And we had the official CNN breakfast of Eggs Benedict the next day. It was wonderful, but I digress. But in any event, yes, we will be, and by that I mean my lovely girlfriend Linda, who is basically is the producer of Radio Free America, which airs on Wednesday nights. She and I are going up to the Conservative Political Action Conference in Washington, actually in suburban Maryland, right on the Potomac River at the National Harbor Conference Center, Thursday morning with Kevin Wade, who ran for the U.S. Senate in Delaware in 2012. Delaware is a one-party state. It's about as blue as it can get, as opposed to Texas, which is a state largely filled with patriots who love America. Which is why I like Texas an awful lot. But the CPAC, our show live from CPAC, will air at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central on Friday night. And it should be a real blast. I'm really looking forward to it. We have our slot at Radio Row. And I certainly hope that everyone will call in, and I'll be briefing the people on what is happening at CPAC. And who knows, I may even be able to get somebody like Senator Rand Paul or Governor Sarah Palin or Congressman Colonel Alan West to join me on the air. So it should be very, very interesting, and I hope everybody will tune in then.
Well, Duke, let me ask you. I mean, because I was just, some of the things that you've done, and this is why you're the president and general manager of this company and why, It's kind of an odd thing, because you'll call me sometimes and say, like, Michael, should we do this? It's like, Duke, you tell me. I work for you. And it's like, but Michael, you own the company. You founded it. Yeah, but I work for you, Duke. You tell me what we're doing. How did we end up at CPAC?
I sure hope somebody has taken all this down. Now we've got a record of it. Now you're on tape. There's nothing that can be done about it. Now, listen, this is a cooperative effort by a bunch of people that have all become very, very good friends over the last year and a half. And I am just having such a great time with this. We are slowly growing. We are going to grow even more. And we're going to be adding new shows from time to time. I think that when I come back from CPAC, we will probably have some new talent on the air, because one of the things that I'm going to be doing up there, frankly, is just an absolute bold-faced recruiting effort to get some young, enthusiastic, well-spoken conservatives to join up with our network, and I think that it's going to be pretty successful. We'll see what happens, but I think that the future is wide open for us, and I am hoping that it is wide open for conservatives in this country. The left is fighting us now harder than they ever have before, and they resent the daylights out of the fact that the Internet has opened up to conservatives, that talk radio is very open, obviously, to conservatives, and that Fox News Channel is the number one cable news source in the country, and the Alphabet broadcast networks are in a slow but steady decline. Newspaper circulation is down. Nobody really cares what the New York Times thinks about things anymore, which is a good thing. And the left absolutely despises this, and they've had the long knives out for quite a while. Incidentally, speaking of being the general manager, it's time for you to take the 45 break, and I don't want to make you late, because
they have that cell
ready for you in Huntsville if you absolutely.
Boss, I'm going to ask you if I can do my 45 break a little bit late, because I got a little special treat on there. If you could, just real quick, again, give us the information for Friday night, your normal Wednesday night show, and then I'm going to go through and get Robert and Bing, get Bing to promote his show coming up immediately after this, and give us some closing remarks and what we're going to call it a day.
All right. Very fine. Of course, as usual, Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, Radio Free America. I will be here on Wednesday night, of course. And on Friday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, Radio Free America, live from CPAC 2014. It should be really something, so be there or be square.
Hey, Michael, I got a question real quick.
Yeah.
Yeah, in Dealey Plaza at the school book repository, is there any school books there?
We didn't go upstairs, did we, Duke?
No, we didn't, but we didn't have to. You know, we didn't have to, but
we actually
I can't
had
believe
really
how much
cool
they charge to get
stuff.
In there.
Yeah.
I can't believe how much they charge.
We got a personal this old guy that lives in the area gave Duke the personal review of everything. I don't know. It was a lot of fun. We'll have to talk about it. I'm running out of time here. We'll have to talk about it probably on one of Duke's shows or maybe next Sunday.
Sure.
Duke, thanks for all you do. We'll hear you on Wednesday. We'll hear you again on Friday. And
Thank you, my brother,
that everything you do is greatly appreciated.
Thank you, pal. It's a pleasure to be here and to be working with you and Bing and Robert and David and Jennifer and all of our other great people. Thanks so much.
All right, buddy. I'm going to put you on mute here. Robert, real quickly, just tell us about your show on Saturdays, and I'm going to move to Boyd and then finish up with Bing.
Okay, well, you know, this whole thing with CPAC and us being there this year, I hope it's something that we can do every year, truthfully. I think that would be cool to send a different one of us different ones each year or something.
Well,
I think
that's the goal. I think the goal is, depending on how well Duke and I can build the company and get some more income coming in, is for all of us to be at CPAC. So, that is in the goal.
That would be cool. I've always wanted to go. But my show on Saturday.
The show and day and time and everything.
Yeah, my show is on Saturdays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 Central. And I usually don't know what I'm going to talk about until the last couple of days because I pretty much follow the news and try to keep it as current as possible, although I find a few things that usually right after my show, I find something that usually hits my show the next week. So I do my best to try and get everything as current as I possibly can.
Well, Robert, that's the way do it. I appreciate everything you do for the company. And, you know, I mean, that's what we're about. The news is 24/7. I don't do a show every day. You don't do a show every day. None of us does a show every day, but we have a show or two every day. So since the news is 24/7, we've got great hosts like Robert here on the news, the new Wise Conservative, that will keep you current. Wouldn't you agree, Robert?
I totally agree. And this company has actually grown quite a bit since I've joined, and I joined last year. I've been on the radio since 2007, so this is really fun to be with Conservative Nation Media.
Thanks a lot, Robert. Hey, buddy, I'm going to put you on mute here. I'm going to bring Boyd in real quick. Boyd, give me some final thoughts, buddy. I'm running it to the end of the show here. Please join me next Sunday. I'd like to get you on and talk to you a little bit more.
Well, Michael, like I said earlier, when I logged into this show because it was a new show on the network and the name was different and everything else, I was expecting to hear somebody else's voice. And then when I got on it and I'm hearing yours and I'm going, who is this? And what is he really doing? But it's good to it's great to hear your voice again, buddy.
Thanks a lot, Boyd.
Yeah,
I appreciate it.
I love you,
brother. You know I love you. I'm sorry I disappeared for a while, but man, it's great to hear you.
No, that's all right. It's understandable. I heard what was going on, and yes, you were right in doing what you had to do. And, you know, you ain't skipped a beat.
All right, brother.
Ron was saying,
hey, let's get,
it'll
let's
be a
just,
while
get,
before he gets in the groove again. Yeah, that's like cool. You're already there.
Let's get back together next Sunday and talk about some Sarah Palin, some Alaska politics. All right, brother?
All right, bro.
All right, I'm going to put you on mute. Bing, the last word goes to you because you've got the show coming up next, my brother. Hey, look, thank you, Bing, for all that you've done helping Duke to hold down the company in my absence. You know, my brother, I love you. I'm sorry I've been a little distant lately, but I'm back. I'm rejuvenated. I've got some shit behind me, and you know what? I can't thank you enough.
I was totally all right, man. I mean, I have no problem with that. You know, I just do what I can do, you know. So, I mean, I know you had some, you know, issues and that kind of thing. We'll leave them at that. And, you know, we just go from there. But, yeah, welcome back. I mean, it's good to hear you again, man. I'd like to do a show with you again. It's just, it's like good old times, you know. And
we didn't even get to the Rich Lowry article. I may have to call into your show just to read the Rich Lowry article.
Have to call because I tell you what, I'm on a tear. I'm on a tear against liberals. I'm on a tear. I'm on a tear against Harry Reid for calling people that the Koch brothers liars. I mean, I'm just on a tear. So yeah, and I got to get over to that other show where I'm on a different network. So it's not.
All right, brother. Go get your show piped up. I'll be dialing in soon.
All right, brother.
All right, man. Folks, this has been great getting back together with all of y'all. I appreciate it. I love you all. Thank you for giving me a little bit of time off. Thank you, Duke, for giving me a little bit of time off. Boyd, Bing, Robert, all my employees of Conservative Nation Media, you know, you guys, you're the best. It's great to be back. God bless America.
80 million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever.
My name is Dwayne Stovall. I'm from right over here, not far from you, Cleveland, Texas. I live just outside of Cleveland. I'm on the school board at Tarkington Independent School District. I'm just a small business owner in Liberty County. I have three children, been married 22 years, my high school sweetheart. Pretty average Texan, other than the fact that I'm a native Texan, which is pretty special. About 7 years ago, I started studying the Constitution. Studying the framers, the founders, the ratification debates, coming forward with that. I wanted to know what the Constitution created. That almost immediately turned the light on that what we were gifted with by the framers and the states that agreed to it is not what we live under today. And the reason I'm running for United States Senate is because that is the one position that I found out early on has been the most misused and abused position at the federal level. Until Ted Cruz, we haven't really had anybody standing on principle that would protect the state of Texas. I'd like to see it go back to that original founding principle.
So I'm just a commoner. I'm a husband. I'm a father. I'm a small businessman. I'm a neighbor, and I'm a friend. I guess you could say I'm your average Texan. When you leave here today after this wonderful event, there's one thing I want you to remember, and it's the underlying theme of my candidacy. I want to be free. I want my children to be free. I want future generations of Texans to be free. I want in no way to govern your life. As a matter of fact, I want for each of us to have the freedom to govern ourselves.
Afraid or the right to feel good, but we have the right to be able to protect ourselves.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I ask people when I go speak to groups, I'll ask them what do they think the purpose of the government is? What's the primary goal? Role. And they'll say, let's keep them safe. I'll tell them right now. No, the role of the government is to keep you free. I can chain you up, put you in a closet, and feed you 3 squares a day and call you safe.
There's really only 3 hurdles you have to cross when you're voting on anything, and that is, does it meet the requirements of the federal constitution? Does it meet the requirements of the state constitution? And after that, what are the long-term ramifications to the state of Texas?
You're listening to The Michael Berryman Show on conservativenationmedia.com. This is your
Star-Spangled Banner.
Obama. I'm coming for you. Imano, Imano. You're not taking my America, Obama. Get your fairy ass hands off of me. I'll kick your feet so damn far down your throat, you'll be chewing with your butt. Our America. I fought for it. I stood that wall, Obama, and you ain't taking it. Not you or the freaking rhinos.
Just the rocket train. The first part gave me there. Gave proof through the night. Said I'm back with you there.
My America.
Oh,
just an American out there. It belongs to us. And you ain't taking it.
For the land.
The land of the free.
Land of the free. In the home of the brave.
America.